show, everyone. The 11th episode of the Jolt Second Cup. 11 episodes. Can you believe it, Andrew? 11 already?
That's nuts.
Isn't it?
I know. Right? It's great that we're still rolling with this thing. People are still listening and still want it.
11 episodes. Yeah, I know. I mean, it really seems like just the other day we're in here in this office. We call it our studio, trying to figure out how to set this equipment up, you know, how it works. Still not entirely convinced we've figured it out.
No, there's still a lot of stuff we don't know.
And now we're like seasoned veterans, pros at this, right?
Pros.
I mean, we've taken the show on the road last episode.
Yep.
So many things. So congratulations on flipping into our second 10 count of shows here.
I know, double digits. It was kind of your idea too. So, you know, hat tip for you. Congrats on you as well. Yeah.
So I feel like we need like a photo to like commemorate this occasion.
We do. I think only if we knew a photographer.
Only if we knew a photographer. And you know, luck would so have it that, you know, we have a professional sitting right here next to us in the studio today. So we will welcome Insatiu from Connecticut Headshots. Welcome to the Jolt, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. Both of you are so good at this, and I can't really.
Get that recorded.
I sat and listened to a couple of episodes.
I'll take a couple.
And the first thought, of course, was why didn't I make it in the first top 10?
Second ten.
All right, I'll take that. You let us work out some of the kinks.
So now we're really starting to get into it.
I love it. Right? That's great.
That's funny. So already, right? Like, you can tell just by, you know, talking to you, and we've spoken before, and we've gone through things before. It's just like your personality, right? Like, you have that sort of like comforting voice. Like, you're very laid back. Is that something you kind of bring into your photo shoots?
100%, because my clients' comfort level is paramount to me. When I think of folks in front of cameras and lenses and lights, you have to understand that these are things that they're not going to be encountering on a daily basis. And so they're usually going to go, what's up with all this stuff?
Yeah. That's
right. And I'm sure you guys, when you were photographed by me, right? Yeah. You felt the same way. You had these things floating above you, and you're thinking, oh my God, it's going to fall on me, or I'm going to look awkward.
Like, I don't think that there's anything like more kind of like awkward than to stand there and like get your picture taken, or like to be on camera. You feel, I don't know. And through my career, like, I've done that. I've been on, you know, been interviewed, got my headshot done, and like public speaking things. And it's never like being in the spotlight, like being the one that the attention's on. For some people, maybe it's comfortable, but for most of us, it's not. So, like, I think going into a headshot or any photo shoot, right, like, there's nerves. There's automatically, like, you're not feeling super confident no matter how, like, ready you think you are. Like, I should have picked this. Like, my smile, it doesn't look right. So it's hard. I got to imagine it's kind of difficult.
Yeah. Initially, when I started in this business, I struggled, too, as a photographer, to try and get my clients to really just relax and chill out, right? Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, going into workshops and showing my work and saying, and most of my mentors would tell me, it's because you haven't had a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. You have not found a way to make them feel comfortable or told them what the photographs are for. And what I tell my clients even today, I mean, this morning I had a photo session in my home studio, and I told the person who came there, I said, think about who this photograph is for. Not for you, it's off you, but it's for your clients.
Yeah.
It's for your clients, your future clients, your present clients to say, this is the person I want to call and get some help from, right? And how are you going to do that if you look uncomfortable?
Absolutely.
Right? If you look uncomfortable, awkward, right? People aren't gonna pick up the phone and go, because there's that vibe that says, ooh, they're not sure about themselves.
Definitely.
And so my goal as a photographer is to make that person look confident and approachable first, right? The feelings should be, I'm grounded, I got this, right? Mm-hmm. I got the feeling like, I got this, right? And then make pictures.
Yeah, look genuine, right?
Absolutely, like, absolutely. Yeah. And that comes with time.
Which is something, like, I will say from experience, I mean, like Seishu said, he, you know, did our headshots, 6 months ago or so?
Yeah.
And I spent half the time laughing. as opposed to worried about it. So it works.
There's a portion of there's some people who come in who feel silly about doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had one person last week actually who couldn't stop laughing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's going on? And it's nervous laughter, right? Yeah. And so everybody has their own way of sort of projecting their nervousness. Yeah. And I as a professional have to pick up on that and say, don't worry, man, I got you. Or don't worry. You know, I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
So I'm there more of a guide, and I'm there to make sure that when they are presenting themselves and want to be photographed, and then their photographs are going to be used wherever it is, LinkedIn, social media, website, billboards on I-84, whatever, right?
Yeah.
They're going to look like they're going to be the person to talk to. Right?
Yeah.
So that's really key. I mean, if I'm not there, we keep working.
Yeah.
We keep going on.
That's
good. Like you said, it's weird because, it's a totally different atmosphere, because we're so used to taking pictures with our phones now.
Yes.
And it's just, click and point and whatever, and boom, you're done. When you walk into a photo shoot like we did with our headshots, there's lights, there's this, there's drapes, there's canopies, there's, cameras of the day. And you're like, oh my goodness. And I walked in there, I was like, okay, where's my modeling contract, right?
I
still haven't found my royalties for it yet, but no.
If you don't believe, go on our website, centralctchambers.org. Go right to Andrew, probably the best headshot of all time. I mean, Seishu made that happen.
So. Right, you should have seen Seishu's face after a while. He's like, oh my God, this guy. But anyway, it was definitely a cool experience. Again, it's probably my first time actually having professional headshots done. And when I first joined here last year, so it's been well over a year, they're like, oh, we need a head picture for a headshot. I'm like, oh. Okay, I'm not usually the one to kind of take selfies or anything like that. So you look through my social media page, it's all just kind of random pictures of me skiing or whatever. So I'm like, here. So I get my way at the phone, I stood in my kitchen, and boop, that's all it was. And then it was just, and obviously from now what it is now, it's completely different. Yeah. So it definitely has that impact, that you're looking for, especially on a professional front.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. So, what's the difference? You kind of touched on it already, but getting a professional headshot as opposed to just say, hey, honey, can you take a picture of me on my phone or give it to your kid to take a picture? Why would somebody take that next step?
That's a great question. I think the preponderance of selfies, of course, online now tell people this is okay to do. So people do that. My take on this is very simple. If you are being photographed by somebody who already knows you and you're okay with that, and the photos are, it's a selfie, right? And you're going to be okay with that. Okay, that, and you're happy with it. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll be honest with you. I feel like you got to start somewhere. I've seen avatars on LinkedIn and even Facebook where there's no picture, where there should be one. It's just this icon that people are using, right? Or the system kicks out and says, this is where your picture needs to go. That's the worst thing you can ever do, is to have nothing. Mm-hmm. So having something is better than nothing. That's number one. Sure. But I feel that when you work with a professional, it doesn't have to be me particular, but somebody who works and knows how to guide you in terms of your facial expression, and they are able to capture something that says you're confident, you're approachable, you're trustworthy. And in my studio, particularly in my studio, and I saw that in both of your portraits, by the way, is kindness. All right? If you come across as being kind, your ability to connect with somebody is much, much better. Okay? That's just, my opinion, my take on all of this. And that's my goal. Every single person who comes through, however nervous they may be initially, when they walk out of there, they feel relieved. Like, oh my God, you've just seen me as a human being. You've treated me as a human being. And I see myself now as being able to project that sense of humanity to my audience, right? My audience, when they see me and can connect with me, that's great. Now, can you do that with a selfie? Yes, you can. Can you do it easily? Probably not. Because you are fully conscious of who's photographing you, the light may be off, completely off. I mean, I just saw one really horrific selfie today, and my client walked out of my studio saying, you know, that was taken about 10 years ago, and it's taken me 10 years to come in because I didn't know there was another option, you know. Yeah. And I said, there are options out there. You know, there are qualified and really caring photographers out there who are looking to really produce really the best work for their clients. And so you got to work with them. You know, you got to find them. They're out there. So
yeah. So what are like the, I don't know, three or four main reasons people come to you for a headshot? I mean, you kind of touch like professional headshot too, but like people come just for like a social media shot. Like what would someone, like somebody dials you up or gets you out of line, like, I need a headshot because.
Yeah, that because is a fill in the blank, really. Yeah. It's so many things these days, right? A great many people will start by saying, I just want one photo for LinkedIn. Right, you guys needed something for your website. I've got a client who I worked with about 6 months ago who's presenting at a conference and needed really high quality portraits of himself so that when he's speaking, that his portrait is up on the walls or in the projectors or whatever it is that they were doing. And then there's one gentleman who came in who's a roofing contractor, and he's got a billboard on one of the highways, and he worked with me for, I don't know, two or three times. He came in multiple times to have multiple photographs taken of him. And so the where it ends up going,
yeah,
is interesting, but it's mostly all sort of business related.
Sure.
You know, I think that's where it ends up being, is that you are looking to have a business connection with somebody, and so you need that sort of The photograph is a bridge.
It's really your introduction.
Yeah, I call it a bridge.
Yeah.
You know, I said it makes it possible for you to cross over and say, hello, yeah, this is who I am, and gives the other person an opportunity to say, okay, this is the person I looks like or feels like,
yeah, sure,
I can call, who can help me out, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
So I've been on a couple of billboards, not like my headshot, but just as sort of the background people in it.
Oh.
It's so odd. It's weird. Every time you drove by, you'd be like, and then my daughter would see it, like, Dad, there you are.
Where was
like,
this, by the way?
So at a previous job, we would use some of our staff and whatever to come up with the shot, as opposed to bringing in like professional
sure
lines for money reasons. So like I've been a hospital patient in numerous capacities to the point where people are probably like, what's wrong with that guy?
Okay.
He was having knee surgery last week. Uh-huh. And a newborn worked for like, I don't even remember.
He's come from the maternity ward, the bariatric clinic, you know.
Yeah. So
that's where I know you from.
Yeah, right. Right. So I need a headshot.
How's your head doing now, by the way?
Yeah. I know. It's like we gotta start using other people. But those are the kind of the main ones. Have you ever gotten like what's the strangest sort of request you've gotten for a headshot? I mean, not that it's strange, but just as like people are like, hey, I'm going on a dating site or whatever, something like that.
You hit it. I mean, I think there was, I'm thinking back to one gentleman who initially came in for a business partner. He goes, by the way, I'm just wondering whether you could hook me up with some photos for Tinder. I was like, well, you know, yeah.
So did you do those photos differently than like
I did. I did. And here's the thing. The headshots are really geared towards bringing the attention to the one person in the frame, head and shoulders. That's mm-hmm. where headshots comes from, right? Mm-hmm. Head and shoulders. Nothing beyond your sort of sternum, essentially, you know. But for dating sites, you got to tell stories. You got to be able to tell a story of like what kind of activities they like doing, where they like to go hanging out. You know, it could be a movie theater. Like I think this gentleman I photographed was on a bike trail because he loved biking. You know,
okay,
just to tell a story of like, okay, he's an outdoorsy kind of guy, right? It was different. It wasn't a headshot as such,
gotcha,
but he asked nicely, and I was like, yeah, sure, I can hook it up. You know, let's go.
Nice. So I mean, you talk about how like you make people feel relaxed and maybe a little more confident, or at least give that confidence, kind of portray that, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like you need to be confident as well, which it does seem like you are. But if you're behind there, you're like, oh, these aren't coming out good. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. But like,
yes.
I don't have an answer. Like, I assume that would make.
Yes.
So even when things are maybe going great, like, is that something you do? I was like, no, well, we're good. Everything's fine.
Well, I don't lie to my clients, but at the same time, I think you hit on a very important topic, which I think, frankly, evaded me when I first started working in this field. Because as an introvert, I wasn't very comfortable giving people direction.
Sure.
I would always say, hey, you know, it'll happen. The photographs will happen.
Yep.
The moments will happen. The expressions will happen. And then, as I said, I went to this workshop in New York, and this guy, his name is Peter Hurley. He's like the headshot guru, amazing photographer. And if you watch him work, there is no doubt in your mind that he directs people to where he wants them to be. And I took away from that workshop that I have to step up. I have to be out, I have to get out of my own little bubble and say, this is what I need from you. You know, do you guys remember the one thing that I asked you to do?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, I know, right?
Other than hold all these different things.
Yeah. That holding the reflector thing was is
refresh
one part.
Refresh my memory. I don't.
So, I'd asked you both. I'm pretty sure to bring your chin forward and drop.
Yeah. Oh, the turtle look.
The turtle. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. I didn't know that I should ask my clients to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first, I don't know, set of photographs of anybody. It's just about me getting to know them. But at some point, I will say to them, let's bring your chin out.
Yeah, I remember that.
Let's bring that chin out and drop it down a bit, okay? And if they still don't get it, I will step up and show them, all right, this is what I want you to do, right? That if that doesn't work, then I go to, you know, DEFCON 3.
You know, what's DEFCON 3? Hold on.
No, that was a joke. There was no
he's got like a mold right there, just a plank of wood. Shoot your head over there. Yeah.
Well, at some point in photography, when there was film being used and it was slow film, people did actually use a contraption to hold people's heads in the back so that they wouldn't move. So, no, we're not going there with this.
Yeah. Bring it back.
Things have changed quite a bit. I mean, people are, I would say, more amenable to working with you if you give them the sense that you're there for them.
Yeah.
You know, there is a point in time, it's usually about the 15 to 20 minute mark in my photo sessions, that people go, oh, Seishu's here working with me.
Yeah.
You know, there's no him and me kind of thing. It's us. It's a collaboration, right? It becomes a collaboration. So when I give them directions like that, they are more like, okay, he wants me to move my hand. All right.
Mm-hmm.
He wants me to move my elbows out. Okay. I'll do it. Right. You know? And here's the thing. I bring people, we didn't get to do this when we worked, I don't think. Well, we did actually. I did bring my computer with me.
Yeah.
So I will walk people around and say, come around, let's take a look at these photographs. Let's see, let's make some decisions on, hey, which ones you like, which ones you don't like, right? And I'm learning. The minute they start pointing at photographs that they are at least inclined to like in some respects, I'm like, okay, we're going to go in that direction from now on, you know?
So have you ever had to, like, maybe convince is the wrong word, but convince them to be like, this is the one, like this, you know, these two or three where your next hour or whatever a little bit more is the way to go, where they actually like set B more. Like, is there ever, if you had to like push people towards
100%, every single time, You could, here's the thing, you know, I've had lawyers and doctors and insurance people and CFOs and CEOs all walk in my studio, and I tell them, imagine if I were to walk in your workplace, right? Would I know what to do?
Yeah.
Probably not. Most likely not, right?
Most likely.
So when you're here, I'm going to give you the guidance, and I'm going to tell you very matter-of-factly what is it that works, what doesn't work, what works. I'm going to be honest, because it is a disservice if I don't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Agree.
For any of my clients to walk through and come through and be photographed and then have a set of photographs that they're not happy with, is a fail. But I'm also going to walk them towards photographs. I'm going to challenge them and say, these photographs have an expression that really bring out the best in you to a point where someone's going to pick up the phone and call you. The minute I say that, people are going to go, yeah, okay. I want that to happen, mm-hmm. right? They mm-hmm. want that to happen. So ultimately, that's where they go. You know.
How challenging is that? As you're saying this, I'm like, you got to probably deal with so many different personalities and different types, like, you know, whether it be introverts or extroverts or just people with egos. Like, you know, there are certain types of people in a certain types of business where they, you know, they got a really high ego where it's like, I know what I'm doing. You know, how do you, I'm sure you've handled all sorts of different varieties of personalities. How, like, is that something that came naturally or is that something you kind of worked with over time and kind of get, all right, I know how to deal with this person. I know how to deal with this type of person. How do you deal with those?
It does come with time. It does come with practice. It does come with understanding who they are and what their goals are. So one of the first things I do when somebody comes into my home studio is we have a quick chat about, you know, who this is for, what they're trying to say with these photographs, where they're going to be using these photographs, right? Ultimately, understanding who their audience is super, super important. If it's a marketing person, they get to be a little bit more casual about it, I guess. But if it's a lawyer or a doctor, right, I have to pay attention to what they're wearing, how they're wearing it, all of those details. I'm also paying attention to how they're taking my direction, right? If they're really compliant, that means they're going to listen to my advice on whatever photographs they're seeing. But if they are starting to resist, I don't push back too much on that. I push back a little bit, but I push back to a point where I say, okay, we've got what we want. This person's starting to see the photographs they are seeing. They're liking what they like. I'll leave it at that, right? I don't over, like, it's not my way or the highway, for sure. Because mm-hmm. I want happy clients. You know, I want my clients mm-hmm. to say they've had a good time working with me. And spread the word, you know, they tend to do that, I think, because of a number of things. Number one is the mindset that I have when I start working with them, and the mindset I expect of them, and I lay it out to them very clearly by asking these questions. I say, who's this for? Why are you doing this? What's important about these photographs, right? And once they start telling me that these are the things that are important for them, we are in alignment. You know, we are really in alignment, making sure that we're making and producing these headshots, these portraits that are going to work for them. You know, ultimately, why else would you be there?
So how, what's the background? I mean, how did this thing get started, Connecticut Headshots? How long have you been doing it? What's that?
So I started in 2009, and but I've been a photographer since 2000. I started out wanting to be a photojournalist. But one of the things about the way I started out in photojournalism was in using film. And, you know, I've been in the business for a while. I've seen the film side of things. I've seen the digital side of things. When I started to wanting to learn how to use flash studio lights, mm-hmm. I was at a loss. So I ended up going to a workshop down in up in Boston, I should say. And it was a workshop that has truly revolutionized my business, because I not only understood how to use light, but I also knew how to finesse it. Yeah. And so when I came back from that workshop, I had nothing to show for it other than what I photographed in the workshop. I was hungry. I was like, I need to do more of this, right? I need to do a better understand what I was creating with it. So I put out a word on Twitter. Back then it was Twitter. And I said, first 20 people to respond to my tweet, you know, get a free headshot. Now, I had no idea that 18 people would respond.
Awesome.
And 18 people showed up. We had a good time. It was completely free, complimentary. And I had no idea of retouching at that point in time. I didn't even know what the word meant. Mm-hmm. So I just did what I could with the photograph and handed it off to the people, and people used them. And people started using them. So that was a big takeaway for me as well, is that if you provide something of value, people will use it, right? So they started using it, and they started telling people. And that's how the business really grew. And then I randomly typed in Connecticut and headshots and .com, and nobody had claimed that domain. Wow. And I claimed it, not knowing anything about SEO. Again, I started out with zero knowledge of any of the stuff. Sure. Right? That's now people are telling me, hey, this is a great domain name. You know, I was like, well, great, thank you.
Yeah, that's all the time. Yeah, I knew exactly what I was doing.
Yeah. And so it is from that that I started the business, and it's been steadily growing since 2009.
That's phenomenal. So as like a kid, were you the one rolling around with like a bag full of disposable cameras? I mean, is it like photography, picture taking always been a
hobby? It was a hobby, though I would say probably a level up beyond hobby. I don't know what that is, but in high school I was a yearbook photographer. Okay,
there you go.
And then in college, I don't know, for whatever reason, I never touched the camera, not once. I think I was partying too much or something, you know. And then I ended up going to Japan for 2 years. I lived in Japan for 2 years. And then the first year I got there, Japan, as you...
So what brought you to Japan?
So here's the thing. I was studying to be essentially a PhD in history, in Japanese history. That was my initial goal. I was so involved in studying American history and Japanese history, wanting to put them together. Because I figured, as histories go, you know, America has its own version, Japan has its own version. Trust me, they do. So, but I wanted to sort of a way of bringing them together if possible. But I got sidetracked, you know, because Japan and Tokyo especially is so expensive. I didn't have much of a nightlife there. You know, my client, my friends who I was there with ended up going and partying and all that, but I ended up being a part of this, what's called a camera club, a photography club. And that's where I started really practicing the art of photography, learning the very basics of film photography, processing film, you know, printing the images, right? And doing the things that, I don't know why I didn't do during college. I really am kicking myself now. Because I'd be much farther along, I think, you know.
Doing pretty well, yeah. But
yeah,
that's
so
interesting.
So I got started there, came back, went to journalism school because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking photojournalism, I wanted to go to journalism school. So I was at Indiana University, studied journalism, and ended up in the Northeast.
You know who else studied journalism? This guy and that guy.
Yep, journalism major.
Yeah. Fantastic. See, we're all getting together.
Look at that.
Yes.
And now none of us really do that. So.
True.
That's
yeah.
That's awesome. So Japan. So you went to IU. Are you a Midwest person? I don't call you a kid, but like, where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in. I finished high school in San Jose, California.
Okay.
So I went to college in California, and then went to Japan. And then decided to go to Indiana after 2 years. So I found myself in the Midwest and then eventually in Boston, where I freelanced for newspapers and magazines. Ended up doing that for a while until I met my wife, who was finishing up her school work at UConn. And once she was done, she was like, "Well, I'm not moving, you know." And I said, I'll be honest with you, everybody who's listening in, I wasn't thrilled about living in Connecticut initially, I'll be honest with you. But it's grown on me to a great extent. I think it's one of the finest states to live in.
I agree.
You know?
Plus, like, California headshots was already taken. The
U.S. Probably, Yeah, it was a tall order to get into California for that, for sure. So
that's cool. That's cool.
So it brings me back. So I know in high school I did a couple of photography classes. You know, just I think it was just I always loved the art. You know, there's the music side, the art side. I was on the art side, so I did the sculpting. So I had a photography class. So this is back like when you bought the film, you bought the SLR camera, and then you developed the film, and you know, in the dark room and all that stuff. Do you miss that?
Yes, I do. In fact, I just turned 55, and I bought myself a film camera, and a lot of my friends online who I said I was getting into film again just gave me this. Give me the side eye. Or like, what are you doing? You're going to waste a lot of money. It is expensive. It's gotten expensive for sure. But here's why I got into it. And it is going to slow me down intentionally. Mm-hmm. It is intentionally going to slow me down to think about what I'm creating, which I think is lost on a lot of digital photographers these days. When you go and you have a digital camera, there was no expense as such after the initial cost of buying a camera and a memory card, right? You can just take thousands of photographs if you want to. Back in the day of film, you had at most 36 frames, or if you're shooting a DSLR, or if you have shooting medium format, you would have 12 or 20, 24 exposures, whatever it is. I think it's 12. 12 or 10, I'm sorry. Eventually, you're going to have to change that roll of film, and you're going to have to start over again. You don't have that in digital. You just keep going, right? You don't slow down. And when you slow down and really think about how things are in front of you, whether it's a person or a thing, it doesn't matter. You are, I don't know, there's something about that process that I've missed for the last 10 years or so that I want to get back to.
So a little more, I would say a little more attention to detail before you take the shot.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Just where the digital camera phones, whatever, you can just take, a 1,000 pictures, but I'll find whichever one looks the best, you know?
Not to say you can't have that if you intentionally slow down with the digital camera, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. But I think there's the sort of, the process is different. It's just very different when you're, I went to a cross-country meet just 2 days ago, and when I photographed there, I lost track of how many photographs I took. Were they all great? No, hardly. And the same thing could be said about film. I mean, you're not every single frame is going to be amazing. But it is the format of film, a camera that I bought, is wicked slow. Like, it's not going to be something I can blast through because it's going to be expensive.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
So I got expense in my head, but more than that, it's about creating something with intent has always been my goal. You know, whether it's a portrait or a picture of a building or whatever it is, you've got to come at it from a point of like, okay, let's give it some thought, you know, because without that, it's just a snapshot.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder. Like, the days of, buying film, taking a bunch of pictures, packaging up, dropping it off at the drugstore, picking up, waiting 2 weeks, and then you realize that you've got a fingerprint on this one, and you got your hand in the way of this one, and you totally missed, and your kid took the camera, and you wasted half your film. But it kind of makes me wonder, like, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that comes back, you know, like vinyl, CDs. Mm-hmm. Those are huge collecting, and that's a huge deal right now. Do you foresee a wave back to film as an art form, or just kind of in general? Like, it kind of almost like a nostalgic kind of thing. Like, oh, this, break away from the norm of all the digital cameras and stuff like that. Do you see that kind of bouncing back a little bit?
It is. I've been sort of tracking all the Instagram accounts that are dealing with film, and there is a huge push in, places like Brooklyn, for sure, where maybe it's a hipster thing to do. I don't know. But it is something that people are coming back to, I think, because of a variety of reasons. My reason is different from the other person's, for sure. But I think, you're right. It, like vinyl is coming, making a comeback. I think film is going to come back. And I think somebody said about, whether it's Kodak or Ilford film companies that are making film, more film now than they did even 10 years ago, because I think there's that demand again now, pricing is still an issue when it comes to processing and scanning. That's where it gets really expensive. The film itself is reasonable, about $10 a roll, but with processing and scanning, you're going to add at least another $30 to it, so it becomes a $40 commitment every single time you pull out the film camera, I mean, there is a part of me that wants to bring it back to headshots. I want to photograph my clients with my digital cameras and then say, oh, by the way, here's a film camera. Let's run a roll through and see what that looks like, and give people something a little bit different, so that might happen as well.
Very cool. Someone can go to class, right, and learn how to use the camera, right, and learn lighting, like you said, and how to change the settings and all this stuff and how to, frame the shot. But is there like some things in photography that you can't teach? Like, is there really, is there just like, you kind of have to have an eye for those things?
That's a great question. I think you can have an eye for it, but also you can develop that eye over time. I think a lot of people say, who inspires you? How were you inspired? And I can tell you right now, I can go back to that one moment in my head where I knew this is what I wanted to do. And that was an exhibit in Tokyo by a photographer named Mary Ellen Mark. She's no longer with us, but her photographs blew me away. I was immediately, my entire body felt like, this is what I needed to do, you know? Wow. So you can find inspiration in things like that. Exhibits, movies, right? Concerts, or just walking around, you know? If you, like the cross-country event that I was telling you about, I saw pictures everywhere, you know? How can you not? There are people, beautiful light, you know? It's about just committing yourself to whatever's in front of you and saying, this is worth documenting, right? And these people are worth documenting. These people's stories are worth documenting.
Sure. So, Connecticut Headshots, you do headshots. Do you do other photography outside of headshots?
I do. Okay. I do. Wow. Curveball. I love that. So, a good portion of my year is committed to working with private schools. So, I work with private schools to tell their stories. And year to year, because of the change in the students in their schools, their story continues to evolve. And so when they ask me to come in and photograph their events, their activities, whatever it is, you know, classrooms and on the fields or at special events, you know, alumni events, commencement, or it could be a parent reception, you know, just photographing the parents, getting to know each other, right?
That's a whole different like style technique.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I lean on my photojournalism skills to be able to do that without interrupting the flow of the activity, you know. I enjoy that a great deal. It's challenging because the light's not always the greatest. People are making faces sometimes, you know, and you got to get
that set right. You don't know like
something exactly. You got to just do it. You got to just do what you got to do and figure it out later. And then I do photograph a good group of high school seniors as well to celebrate who they are at this point in time in their life. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. What a great like journey. I mean, you've been coast to coast.
Absolutely. Japan,
going international.
Everywhere. Yeah. But have you ever answered questions from Andrew LaForge? That's what I want to know right now, because you're going to get the chance.
First time for everything, I guess.
There is a first time for everything,
Photographed him, I'm ready. Now you can see the real
thing. Now it's payback. all right, so obviously by the time this airs, launches, it'll probably be very close to October, right? So I'm leaning on a fall festival kind of Halloween kind of theme questions here.
Yeah.
All right, so... So obviously with the fall comes all these festivals around the state, you know, every single weekend there's always something going on, Apple Festival, Terreville, whatever the case may be. Is there a particular festival or anything you like to attend that you attend regularly or you like to go to or you have good fun at?
Wow. Not in recent years. I do know that when my kids were younger, we've been to several of the typical Halloween, you know, hayride type things, events that are on farms nearby.
Yeah, those are fun.
Those are a lot of fun. Great opportunities to photograph, for sure, you know. But more recently, because my Saturdays are usually photographing prep school sports, I'm tied up. I'm not really going anywhere. And then Sunday is my downtime. really need to just unwind a bit, watch some football games, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm not going anywhere on Sunday usually.
Right, no problem. All right, so if you go to a fair or a festival or whatever like that, is there a particular fair festival food that you enjoy, whether it's funnel cake or
He always throws
whatever.
In a food.
You gotta have to. Everybody eats, though. It's an easy. Yeah, everybody eats.
You know, wow. I guess if I have to remember back to the times when my kids were really young, we went to, I think, Lyman Orchards.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, their pies are phenomenal. Yeah, their
pies are good. Oh, yeah.
And I remember, I mean, you took me back right there to eating one of those pies. It's not quite fair food, but I mean, that's what I'd go back to, you know, really.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, this time of year is prime season for apple pies.
Apple pie, absolutely. Apple or blueberry pie, you know. Sure.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
We can do a whole other podcast on pies. That's fine.
You should.
Yeah.
You really should.
Pie podcast, yeah.
I love it.
All right. So going into Halloween, obviously it's, you know, end of October, right? It doesn't have to be now. Could have been when your kids were little. Do you still dress up for Halloween? Do you like to partake in the Halloween stuff now? Not now, never,
no,
ever?
No, I don't think I've ever dressed up. Well, I may have dressed up once maybe for the kids. Just to go trick-or-treating with the kids, maybe. But, yeah, even they haven't really dressed up for Halloween. You know, like, it's been years.
Oh, yeah, no, sure, you absolutely. Do you have a favorite costume they maybe dressed up when they were younger?
For myself?
No, it could be yourself or your kids or whatever. Like, you know,
back then. Oh, I remember this one photograph of my older son that I took. It's one of my favorites. It's of him being a pumpkin. That was his outfit. And he was sitting in this couch, and I remember it very vividly.
He was 16.
It was just last year.
No, he must have been 2 years, 3 years old, maybe. Yeah. But he looked so cute, you know. Like this round pumpkin, you know. It's perfect.
Look at the smile on his face.
I can look at that. I'm seeing it in my mind's eye right now, you know, so...
That's what we do. We bring up nice little memories.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So you talked about hayrides and stuff like that. Have you done the haunted houses, haunted trail rides, anything like that?
Wow. Again, haunted house a long time ago.
It doesn't have to be like within the last year or two.
I can't remember where. May have been in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
I think my father-in-law lives in Massachusetts, and I think we may have gone up to see him at that point in time. It was all connected to that, you know. Sure. Haunted house. The kids loved it. My wife did not.
No. It's a hit or miss. How about you, Jody? You take the kids over to the haunted stuff?
Yeah, so my younger one loves creepy things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then she's like, but... She's legitimately scared. Then she won't like sleep, whatever. But loves the like, at least the idea of like scary stuff.
Oh, cute.
The older one, she's a teenager. I don't necessarily know what she likes, but I remember like the, and I'm sure what they have at Lake Cabots now is awesome. But the old, what was the haunted?
The haunted graveyard.
Yeah, that thing. That was legit. Like,
where was that?
At Lake Compounds. And they have a haunted thing there now, too. I haven't been, but it was the haunted graveyard.
Yeah, it's a little more tame.
Wouldn't be chainsaws with chains on it, but they'd be coming out to like It was intense.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great.
It was intense. So.
There's a couple of fun things. So I actually have gotten to work in a haunted trail, like haunted before. So I'd actually perform. So those are real fun to do if you ever get a chance to be in one and doing the one scaring people versus being scared. Yeah, it's fun. I did it a couple times on a couple trails. My wife, she was a seasonal camper, and our campground did a haunted hayride every fall for a fundraiser. And she'd always work it with her friends that when she was there, and she brought me along a couple times. It was no fun. I got to play Jason Voorhees. That was so fun. but I remember one time I think it was right on my birthday. My birthday is like the day after Halloween, so it's perfect time, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You got yourself a big party.
So I remember,
November, baby. That's Thanksgiving. Once it goes into November.
Yeah. Well, but again, so it was right around that time, and I think it was like, I don't know, sixth grade, fifth grade, or whatever. So me and my friends, we went to a haunted house, right? And when we were just piled into a station wagon back, you know, when you didn't have to worry about, you know, seatbelts and car seats. Everyone just piled in the back of the station wagon. So we all go there, you know, acting all tough and blah, 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 things like that. We went in there and we just got, you know, freaked out, like real bad to the point. Again, to the point where, you know, the chainsaws are out there. And, you know, obviously there's no chain on there because they don't want to accidentally cut anybody off. But sure. I remember just on the way home, my mom's like, you guys were so silent coming home. Like, my friend was like, oh, I'm going to sue this person. They only come. And it was just one of those things. And that kind of got me off the hayride, like the haunted stuff for a while. I was like, no, I don't want to do that again. But then after a while, it just kind of got back to me. But I guess.
Yeah, there's some good ones, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm too old for it now. I feel like I can't even go on a roller coaster, let alone be scared with a chainsaw. All
right, so final one. So on the Halloween theme, obviously the big thing about Halloween is candy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you big candy? You like candy?
I do, but...
Okay, all right.
Here's my story about candy. I'll be honest with you. Where we live in my town in Avon... we've had candy for like, I think 4 years in a row, in a big bowl, you know, ready for the kids to show up. No one showed up. My wife and I look at each other every Halloween morning. We go, we gotta get candy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I look at her and go, what a waste. Don't bother. No one's gonna show up. And we have our lights on too. You know, it's not like the lights are off and it's just a dark home. You know, don't show up here. It's like we want people to come by. Absolutely. No one comes by. So when you said candy, I was like, oh.
No. This is not how many trick-or-treaters you get or anything like that. Okay. This is Seishu candy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Do you like candy?
I do. I'm very particular about my candy, though.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to give you a bunch of little Halloween treats that are usually given out in Halloween time and bag. So whether it was little Seishu carrying a pillowcase or a pumpkin, pillowcase is the way to go.
That is the way to go, right? Absolutely.
So I'm going to give you a bunch of little different treats and candies, and you say yes in my bag or no, get those out of here.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, it's a yay.
Yeah.
100%.
Of course. All right, cool. Kit Kats.
Yay.
All right. Yeah. Okay, good. Skittles.
Nay.
I like Skittles.
So that's a yay for Johnny. Okay. All right. All right, here's the one I never
liked. You didn't ask me my favorite one, though.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
I'm not done
Interrupt
yet.
The man.
Popcorn balls.
I don't even know what those are.
You never had the popcorn? You never got the popcorn balls?
No.
Who wants a popcorn?
I'm just saying.
What is that?
I never liked them. But no, they were individually wrapped balls of popcorn. They must have been like dipped or molded in some sort of sweet corn syrupy type thing.
How do you eat that?
You eat it like an apple.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It just did not taste good. But I never liked them. But
where do you buy these things anyway?
I don't even know if you can still get a popcorn ball.
I don't know what these are.
Yeah, this is like, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
Candy corn.
No.
Yeah, not a huge fan.
No, absolutely not.
Sorry.
I'll eat it.
Three Musketeers.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Okay, good. Yeah. Jolly Ranchers?
No.
No? Yeah. Little bags of pretzels?
No.
Nope.
No. No. Okay. All right. Milky Way.
Maybe.
I'll do a Milky Way. I'm on board with anybody.
I think Milky Way, Three Musketeers.
They're all kind of same.
Kind of a similar vibe. Yeah,
similar kind of thing. Okay. Yeah. Just a straight up regular chocolate bar, like a Hershey's little chocolate bar.
I'm not a big fan of Hershey's.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Right on. And let's see. We'll wrap it up. How about...
You're going to ask me my favorite.
Well, you're going to have to tell me what your favorite is. So here, there's a lot of candy out there.
Pressure's on now.
How about little boxes of Nerds?
No.
Nerds
are great, yeah. Nerds are. That's something my younger son loves, though, but not me.
Nerds on a rope or whatever those
are. Oh, gummy bears, too? Ah, yeah. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. All right, say now you gotta tell me.
I'm going to guess.
Don't say Mary Jane's. Okay.
Man, let's see. What about like a... Take five bar.
Close.
All
right. Close. I would say my favorite is Twix. So
I got that Twix. That's one of my favorite.
So when my kids come home after trick or treating, because they have gone trick or treating once in a while in the past 4 years or something, you know, my sister-in-law would say, no, you have to go trick or treating, guys. So I don't know if they're going to go this year, but I remember last year they reluctantly went with their friends, and when they came home, the younger one at least, pulled out his pillowcase, and I said, I'm taking all the Twix. Mm-hmm. He wasn't very happy, but I said, yeah. It's payment for all the times I had to pick up and drop you off from high school. That's
I look out because my son's not really a big candy fan. He's just not a sweets kind of person. But he'll go out trick-or-treating anyway.
Yeah.
And so that's a score for me. So, again, I'm the Twix. I take out the Kit Kats. My wife takes the peanut butter cups. Yeah. And, you know, so, and yeah. So my daughter, on the other hand, she's just the biggest sweet tooth. So she's just, she'll eat just like, you know, eating all that.
Are you guys going to dress up this year?
You know what? Funny thing is, our new member orientation is on Halloween, so I just might have to make everyone dress up when they come. So, but I'm all about dressing up. I love Halloween.
Unfortunately, I dress up every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, not unfortunately. You had a good time. Last year was fun. I like your picture.
There's a trunk or treat at my daughter's school. So, and you decorate the trunk, whatever, and my wife comes up with the theme, and it's. I get whatever embarrassing role there is. Like, I was a blow-up unicorn one year. Except we didn't have enough batteries to run both fans of the thing, so, like, I couldn't see because it was over my head. Last year, I was a traffic cone because we were, like, a construction site. So, but it's all good. Everybody thinks it's funny.
Yep. For me.
So, is that what you're going to be here again this year?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be. I haven't been told yet. So, okay. All right. But I go along with it.
Yeah. Yep. No, Halloween's always fun.
Halloween's fun. This was fun. Seishu, thank you for being here. How can people find you?
So, ConnecticutHeadshots.com. Connecticut spelled out. I know it's a long state name, but you have to spell it out.
But it's a wicked domain name.
It is a great domain name, of course. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, of course, so you can find me there as well. Just find my name, Seishu, and I'm sure you'll easily connect there. Here's the thing. For those who have patiently listened to our banter for the last, I don't know, hour, is it?
Close.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you guys contact me for your headshot and use the word JOLT between now and the end of this year, which is December 2023. If you use that code, you get $100 off.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's the deal.
Very cool. So, Joel.
I'd be happy to give back. And you know, this is a great community. And you guys are doing some great things. So, I appreciate it. I love, really, receiving your emails, guys, both of yours. It just says all the things that are happening in this community, this chamber. Yeah. This is one of the most active chambers I think I know.
That's good to hear. We think so. We think we're active. We're out there. We try to do things to
music to our ears.
Help everyone we can, and we're so happy that you came in today.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come and talk to you guys and talk a little bit about what I do and why I do it.
You do it well. So thank you again, Seishu, Andrew. We'll talk soon. If you guys don't subscribe to the show, please do so. We're out there, and we'll see you next time.
Don't forget to shake it like a